The measure of any society is how it treats its women and girls.
Clutch your pearls and hide your children. It's another episode of Surly Voices here on WMNF Tampa 88.5. My name is Liz Lanier. I'm one of your hosts today. And joining me in the studio is my co-host, Donna Davis.
What's up,
folks? Oh my gosh, so much is up. We have got some really exciting guests coming on today. But to kick it all off, I cannot believe the number of people out there who still will not accept the fact that the presidential election is over for all intents and purposes. And they're, oh, just wait till this, just wait till that. I mean, where did these people come from?
It's over, y'all.
Yeah, it's over. And oh my gosh, so much interference and collusion. And it's like, okay, you can't go and try to strong arm people into changing their electoral votes. That's not right. I mean, it shouldn't be written as a rule, because nobody should even be thinking to do it. But I mean, wow. I have seen things in the last month that I never thought I would see.
Well, I'm seeing that Mitch McConnell thinks that he could end up being the minority leader. And so, yeah, he's getting his life together.
Yeah, so that's what prompted his little statement yesterday.
About, don't fight.
Yeah, don't fight.
Save yourselves.
Yeah. Right. That dude has done more to bring this country into the toilet than anybody else, Trump included, I think. He is just evil, and there are no redeeming qualities about him whatsoever. He is absolutely the most despicable person I can think of. And then on the other side of the coin comes the transition team, with Biden doing exactly what I thought he would do and appointing a bunch of status quo people. It's like, hello, we knew you were going to do this. If you had not been the absolute lesser of two evils, we wouldn't even be talking right now. But oh my gosh, Mr. Monsanto for agriculture secretary. Also, Pete Buttigieg now is being touted as the transportation secretary.
So here's something fun. Yesterday, someone sent me, because I did work on Klobuchar, and someone sent me a meme from Twitter, and it's of Buttigieg eating a, looks like a burger. I'm losing my vision. Y'all, I'm getting old. And it says, opportunities I don't deserve and am not qualified for. And he's just chowing down on this thing. And it looks like at Amy Klobuchar liked it. And so someone reposted it and said, gosh. Does at Amy Klobuchar know that people can see which tweet she likes? So that was a moment of greatness from a woman really, you know, saying how she feels in the public eye. I love it.
So one of the things that was like in the arsenal, they called it, what did they call it? They called it the Kraken. This lawsuit out of that the state of Texas filed, that the Supreme Court just batted away pretty much. And there is so much misinformation out there about this lawsuit and you know, the recourse that the state has and stuff like that. And so we have asked a constitutional law professor, Jocelyn Hardrick. She is a professor at Florida Cooley. And she is going to talk to us and explain to us how this Texas lawsuit did not get taken up. Some people apparently are confused about that. Professor Hardrick, are you with us?
I am. Thank
awesome.
You for
having me. Oh my gosh, I am getting so good at working this board. It's not even funny.
Look at you.
Thank Thank you so much for joining us, Professor Hardrick. And can you explain so that our listeners can understand how the Supreme Court does not automatically take this case up and what standing means? Because apparently there's a whole new definition of standing out there. And just give us a little roadmap into how this all went down.
Okay. So it's interesting because my students, you know, I just wrapped up my Common Law 1 class and they're like, wait, how is this working? Didn't we just learn about these things? And I'm like, yeah, your understanding is correct. So Texas decides it wants to sue Pennsylvania, claiming the way Pennsylvania ran its elections and these other states was incorrect. And so standing means that before you can come before any federal court, and especially the Supreme Court, the person bringing the case has to show they have a dog in the fight. That's mm-hmm. what standing basically is. And so the Supreme Court here said, Texas, you have absolutely no basis to tell Pennsylvania and these other states how to run their state elections. And so under Rule 17 of the Supreme Court rules, before you can file your complaint before the Supreme Court, you have to file basically a notice that you would like to file a complaint, and the court decides whether or not you can go forward and file it. And so the court in its order was denying Texas's motion to file a complaint. And so when you go before the Supreme Court, first you have to have jurisdiction. And the Supreme Court does have exclusive and original jurisdiction anytime one state sues another state. So mm-hmm. that is clear. What's debatable, and I guess what Justice Thomas and Alito have consistently held, is the Supreme Court doesn't have discretion about whether or not it can take those cases. But if you look at the cases, it has regularly held that just because we have exclusive and original jurisdiction doesn't mean it's mandatory.
Right.
We don't think there's merit. We're not going to allow them to file the complaint. And that's what the justices said here in this case.
And Thomas and Alito have been pretty consistent throughout anytime a case does come before them. So it's not like reading into the tea leaves to say that they rule this way in this case, correct?
That's correct. They all agreed that Texas completely lacks standing. And so now that the Electoral College has convened and they have accepted all the votes from the several states, it's now also moot. And so there would be no further basis for Texas to try to amend its complaint or say that it's still entitled to some form of relief. And so there's not really a chance of it going forward. And frankly, if you read the complaint, it reads more like a press release than an actual complaint.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
They claim that, you know, there's due process violations and equal protection and that there's some violation of the Elector's Clause of the Constitution. But the Elector's Clause only says that the states get to decide who the electors are, and those electors would then, you know, cast their ballots. And all throughout the complaint, they're talking about the ballots weren't counted, they weren't signed properly, there was irregularities, and that has nothing to do with the state deciding who their electors are. So there's just no basis from the beginning.
What about, are you able to speak to this rumor circulating amongst the non-believers in the electoral process that the whole thing is going to be moot because once it gets before the Senate's going to throw it all down?
Well, what's required once the Electoral College convenes, as it has done, on January 6th, they deliver the votes to the president of the Senate, who is always the vice president, so it's Mike Pence. And Mike Pence then has to, in front of both the Senate and the House of Representatives, read the votes, and then they vote to accept them as of January 6th. And so it's not just the Senate that gets to decide that. That's the first thing. And it would be, it's highly, highly unlikely that Congress at this point is going to reject it, particularly given that the Republican Party and some of its leaders has finally come forward and said, we accept the fact that Joe Biden is the president-elect. So that's highly unlikely to happen. But it is the next step on January 6th. That's what must happen
right.
in order to finalize Biden's election. And then on January 20th at noon, it is automatic. He becomes president of the United States.
You don't have to leave, but you can't stay here.
There you go. So, you know, there's that meme of do not get carried out of the
I just keep imagining him sitting on Joe Biden's lap.
Oh my gosh. It's, I mean, you know he's going to do ugly.
Yeah, I mean, and I've seen people posting things like, you know, there's like, there's Attorney General Barr said there is no evidence of fraud. Irregularities happen in every election, but then people on social media are like trying to post evidence. And I'm like, well, that's interesting because Rudy Giuliani and the Texas
right.
Attorney General failed to produce any evidence. So that's where they're getting it from. Who knows?
It blows my mind. I'm an attorney as well. I do civil litigation, but it blows my mind to read the and I keep telling myself, don't read the comments, but you just can't look away, you know? And yeah. So you read the comments and it's like, oh my gosh, there are so many uninformed people out here. We've got to get us a constitutional law scholar because I don't have the patience to explain this to people.
No. And like I said, my very students who just completed the course are like, this doesn't make sense. I'm like, you're right.
Yeah. Oh, it would have made for an awesome final exam question, though, right?
No, it would. I'm already thinking that. So I think next term.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this entire 4 years just didn't make sense.
No.
Professor
Hardrick, is there any other election in history that has gone through the kind of shenanigans this one did?
You know, I'm thinking back to the Civil War. It's probably when we've had this much rumors and a lack of belief in the system because people were as divided as they are now. I did some research because I was thinking, has this ever happened? I'm like, not really. It's, you know, during the McCarthy era, we had some of this. But everyone was under the impression that, yeah, this is partisanship and politics. But at the end of the day, we're going to follow our democratic
system. Right. Exactly.
And I think this is the first time it's been directly attacked. And we've really had doubt whether elected officials will follow the rules.
And ironically enough, the judicial branch is the one that saved the day because executive and legislative were like in the toilet.
Well, we should have just had a duel.
Yeah.
To start with. Like, right? Oh. We have history of that, right?
That like would be awesome.
Throwing down,
yeah.
You know, just take off those jackets with all those buttons.
And
just
the seconds.
Down.
The vice presidential candidates could be the seconds. Yes.
Dr. Fauci on the side, you know, observing
yes.
the duel. Yeah.
This
could have been good.
Well, we thank you so much
can I have one more question?
Yeah,
since
sure.
Since we have the good constitutional professor online.
Absolutely.
I'd like to invite callers if they had any direct questions to give us a call. I don't know what the time frame is, but Professor, is there any challenges to existing precedent that we need to keep our eyes and ears open for as we go forward under this new Supreme Court and this new administration?
Any new challenges? So do you mean to things like abortion rights?
Yeah, I didn't want to say it because then the board lights up.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, Justice Thomas and Alito have been very outspoken. I mean, Alito had that talk with the Federalist Society where he just spoke directly on marriage equality and how that needs to be overturned.
Good Lord.
Definitely abortion rights are looking to be limited. So they're just waiting for the right case to come before them.
Right.
Because remember the Kim Clark, Kim Davis, the woman who was like arrested because she refused to issue the marriage certificate. So that case finally got decided. And Justice Clarence Thomas said, you know, this case was not the right case to deal with this whole gay people should have the right to marriage thing.
Right.
But let the right case come before me, and it's going to go away. He basically said that.
Yeah, she was kind of a PR nightmare, though, right, Ms. Kim Davis?
She was. She was.
There was so much social media content there.
Yeah, she's a state employee, and no one's asking her to do it personally. I mean, just, you know, it was PR again.
Yeah.
But if you have someone who does have standing, and the case is in the right procedural posture, they're going to try to overturn it. They have the vote.
And are we just sitting ducks for that type of action? I mean, is there anything that concerned citizens can do or say to their legislators? I mean, is there any recourse? Are we just stuck?
I wouldn't say we're stuck. I mean, the Supreme Court job is to interpret the law. And so there's a constitutional amendment. It's very difficult to do, but we recently celebrated, you know, the 19th Amendment, giving women the right to vote. And there was a concerted effort among, you know, the citizens who lobbied their legislatures and got it in Congress. And once you have the states approving it, you know, by a majority, it can become a constitutional amendment.
Right.
So that would be the next avenue.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, Dr. Hardrick, we really appreciate you calling in. And hopefully we can have you on again to tell us more about the Constitution.
I would love it. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. So let's take a call from Marita in Wesley Chapel, who's going to tell us about Mitch McConnell.
I'm going to tell you about what?
Mitch McConnell?
Yes, I don't appreciate the way the introduction was, the comment made on Mitch McConnell. Now, I agree, he's not, you know, he's not my favorite guy either. I just don't think that to be so harsh is, you know, it really turns a lot of people off. And, you know, I just think that the comments ought to be a little bit more, you know, like Michelle Obama says, when they go low, we go high.
Let me ask you this, Marita. What comment was it that you felt?
It was on the introduction where I don't even know who the one female that said, you know, Mitch McConnell, he's, you know, he's.
Oh, that's me. That's totally me. I own that. Yes, yes.
Okay. Because I have to tell you, I do agree with you. It just rubbed me the wrong way to hear it on a radio station like that, for everybody to hear it, because you do have the supporters that we want to convince, you know, that, you know, all Democrats aren't communists, socialists, and, you know, that we're out of hand. And, you know, I think the way to do that is maybe to convince them that we're not going to go where they're going to go with criticism.
Well, and I hear what you're saying, Marita. I do not agree, and this is why. But for Mitch McConnell, we would have another Supreme Court seat right now. But for Mitch McConnell, we would have COVID stimulus relief. But for Mitch McConnell, we wouldn't have had Trump being facilitated and enabled and emboldened for the last 4 years. So I understand what you're saying. I was raised with the concept of, oh, if you can't say not,
if you, but that's the way you could have said it. And the way you said it was more like, well, he's the worst, and he's, you know, in this. It was the terminology that you used. And I'm sorry I'm driving, and I, you know, I just have it from listening to it. I don't have it verbatim. I just think you could have, or at least had prefaced it with, in my opinion, he is, you know, such and such.
Okay.
And not that, you know, because it's news, it's facts, you know, that we want to stick to. We're not going to sway anyone to our opinions when we use that kind of terminology.
All right. Well, I'm sorry that my words offended you, Marita, and I do hope you'll give us another chance and listen to us 2 weeks from now.
I listen to you all the time.
Oh, good. Okay. So you know that we are the surly feminists, not the polite feminists, right? The polite ones are on next week.
That part.
Yes, you know, I've had so many unfaced me because of my opinions, but, you know, it's not that I don't agree with a lot of it. It's just the way you said it.
All right.
Just kind of rubbed me the wrong way.
Okay. Well, thank you for calling in. Bye-bye.
I just want to add something there. I think that there's a certain their respective generational ethos, mm-hmm. right, that accompany what we have the stomach for. And I think that certainly in days gone by, it's been form has been very important.
Yes.
I think that what you see emerging is a situation where Democrats are finally saying function is important.
Right.
And it kills people. And we're not going to spare the expense of niceties and courtesies. We're not at court, right? We're literally battling for people's lives. And we're going to call it what it is.
Exactly. So let's go on to our next guest, Councilman Luis Vieira of Tampa. How are you, Mr. Vieira?
Doing well, Liz and Donna. It's a real pleasure to be here today on with two of my favorite surly fans. I was laughing at the last dialogue. God, the nice lady who called, God bless her. I'm a very civil gentleman, but I will say with all the greatest amount of respect, Mitch McConnell sucks.
There you go.
See, now, if you say that, Luis, it's like, I mean, gold, because I talk trash like that all the time, but Luis very much minds his
he's the ultimate
cues.
Diplomat, Marita. Yeah. Luis, Councilman Vieira is the ultimate diplomat. So
he absolutely
that,
is, yeah.
You know, he's not wasting time. He said Mitch McConnell sucks. I agree.
So Luis, tell us about this new project that you're trying to get going in Tampa and the somewhat unexpected opposition you've gotten to it.
Sure, and thank you. And it's a real pleasure to be here today. You know, one of the things I've really wanted to do for a while is to get the city of Tampa more on the side of pushing for what I call pathways to the middle class. And I've always thought that one of the best ways to do that was through our state-certified apprenticeship programs that a lot of different organizations run, right? These are programs that are training programs that train quite often young people, sometimes, you know, middle-aged, well, whatever it may be, but it's disproportionately young people through a skilled trade to become things like a carpenter, a welder, an electrician, a pipe fitter, et cetera. And it takes a lot of young people, again, especially young people, graduating from schools like Middleton or Jefferson or King or wherever it may be, and you know, folks that maybe feel like they're not a stakeholder, and that their future is questionable based on their experiences, based on what they've seen, based on what they've been told, and says that, you know, there's a good pathway for them. So what I happen to try to fashion together is to see to it if we can do that in our contracting process, where if for contracts over $1 million for construction services with the city of Tampa, right, if you're going to work with the city of Tampa and have a contract over $1 million, then you have to make sure that 12% of your labor pool, right, comes from a state-certified apprenticeship program so that we can use the contracting process in a reasonable, I think a very reasonable way, to subsidize and encourage and push for these apprenticeships. And, you know, and this goes to so many issues, economic opportunity, social justice, inclusion, and also a couple of other issues that are so relevant. You know, during COVID and when you hear people on the streets, right? People are demanding, among other things, a pathway to equity, better equity, more inclusion. This is a response to that. And so this is something that I think is timely, but we've gotten some significant opposition to it. And now our friends in Tallahassee, right? There's me being very, very Tallahassee. There you go, right? Are talking about preempting the right of municipalities and cities and local governments to do programs like apprenticeship encouragement and mandates through the contracting process. And, you know, that's yet another exhibit, right, or example of what happens when you get this single party control for over two decades in Tallahassee.
Wow. So how can citizens voice their concerns, pro or con?
Yep. And that's a great question. How can we change things? You know, it's funny because in this past election, where, you know, thank everything under the sun, we got Joe Biden and Senator Harris as our president and vice president. But unfortunately, in Florida, we didn't do as well as we wanted to. But imagine if we could have flipped the Senate, this bill would be dead on arrival. We wouldn't even be talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
So just to remind listeners, that's the change that having some pro-worker and pro-family influence has. So you've got to contact your state representative and your state senator and tell them to vote no on a preemption bill whenever it comes to apprenticeship, because this is a bill that's going to essentially tell cities like Tampa, right, that you can't do this and Tallahassee is going to preempt. Now, this is what's important. St. Pete has passed an ordinance that deals with some of the things that we're talking about here in Tampa. Our friends in Hillsborough County, Pat Kemp and Gwen Myers, are talking a lot about this. And one of them, I believe it was Commissioner Kemp, brought this forward in Hillsborough County as well. Broward County has an ordinance on this as well for state-certified apprenticeships. That's also 12%. And guess what? By virtue of this preemption, all of this will be gone like a Category 4 hurricane running through pro-worker laws and regulations. So you've got to call your state representative and state senator. And it doesn't matter if they're Republican or Democrat because, you know, you don't have to be a Republican or a Democrat, I think, to see the benefit of having a pathway for somebody to become a welder or to become a pipe fitter or to become an electrician. You know, this is just about better economic security for people who are working their behinds off to get into the middle class.
Absolutely. And I agree 100%. I mean, we can't all be scholars and doctors. And for example, my son, you know, despite growing up with nerdy parents, is a tradesperson, and he is a plumber, and he makes as much money as I do. So it's like this is the path to the middle class for a lot of people. We very much appreciate you calling in, Councilman Vieira, and we hope to have you on again soon.
My pleasure, and thank you guys, and make sure to, again, contact your state rep or state senator on this. And you know, one thing, if I may, that I always talk about this is that a lot of people talk about keeping our best and brightest home in Tampa with the idea that that's people with masters. Our best and brightest includes our welders, our electricians, our pipe fitters. It includes working people who got to work 40, 50 hours a week to put food on the table. That's what this is about. Thank you guys very much to my favorite surly feminist, and happy holidays.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Vieira.
Thank you.
You're listening to WMNF Tampa 88.5, Surly Voices by Surly Feminist for the Revolution. Donna has an email to read.
So the Charles in Tampa says, it's very telling how pretty much every call that is defending Republicans rests on nothing other than how mean everyone's being to the Republicans by accurately and usually dispassionately telling the truth about what they've done. It's an extremely insidious double standard.
There are
no facts, history, logic, or realities that support what they're doing, yet they're positioned as victims. Thank you, Charles.
Thank you very much. Yes.
There's another text here that counters that. Nancy Rogers says she doesn't like McConnell. I'm going to assume that she's referring to a McConnell, but it really rubbed her the wrong way. I'm going to reiterate my earlier point about our cohorts and how they perceive the telling of the truth, right?
Yeah.
In every generation, tone changes, and the zeitgeist of a time changes. I think what the younger people who are entering the party, and I'm not saying that they are correct, I'm just saying there are schools of thought here.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those schools of thought, and I don't mean to dismiss the people who are saying, hey, you know, it hurt my feelings, it bothered me, it may rub me the wrong way. I'm saying that it doesn't change the outcomes that we're getting. It doesn't change the harm that is being done. And if we don't call it out, or we put flowers and spray it with perfume, perhaps people don't understand how much harm is being done and what their stake is in that harm.
Thank you. All right. So let's go to Daryl in Tampa. Hi, Daryl.
Hey, Merry Christmas to all of you the surly women.
Thank you. Same to you.
I wanted to just briefly address a lady who called and said that she was offended by what was said about Mitch McConnell. I'm going to tell you what I'm offended by. I'm offended by a Compone Kentuckian who is table Bill.
Can't. Just a moment, Daryl.
Oh, my gosh, Daryl. That was perfect. Yes.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Like you just said, you're telling it like it is. Table bill after bill after bill. And they're holding the American people hostage to get a watered-down bill. Oh, wow, $600. That's really going to help the people who have been looking at force being thrown out where they live and no jobs or whatever. But that's the stuff that's offending me. And I wish I lived in her world. where she seems to have enough money and the disease doesn't bother with her,
mm-hmm.
And stuff like that. I'm just baffled and amazed by individuals like that. But you guys, you have a merry, merry Christmas and a happy new year, and the day of reckoning is coming. I can't wait till January.
Same here.
I cannot wait. Y'all have a good one now.
Thank you, Daryl.
I have another email before we go to the next caller.
Okay.
John in Dunedin says, please comment on the 106 congressional reps who signed the amicus.
Yes, okay. Amicus brief.
Uh-huh.
Yes, those people should be brought up on charges of sedition. Nancy Pelosi should not seat them in the next term. And she's not good. She of course, will take the side of civility and not do anything at all.
So let me back up a little bit here. And let's just educate people who may not have been glued to their...
Ah.
Yeah. and this I'm going to read you a little bit here from The Guardian. More than 120 Republicans, members of the U.S. House of Representatives, formally asked the U.S. Supreme Court this week to prevent four swing states from casting electoral votes for Joe Biden to seal his victory. On the November election, a brazen move that signals how the Republican Party has embraced Donald Trump's baseless attacks on the American electoral system.
Right. Okay. And these are people who swore to uphold and protect the Constitution, and they did something like this. It's outrageous. Any more emails to read before we go on with callers?
Well, they are protecting it from sensible interpretation, but I digress. no more emails at this point.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So you're listening to WMNF Tampa 88.5, Surly Voices by Surly Feminists for the Revolution. Let's go to Phil in Tampa.
All right. What's up, y'all?
What's up?
Hey.
What's going on?
Yeah, not much. So, I mean, we're all just like piling on that one first centrist lady that called in.
Centrist-ly.
on the side of civility and everything like that. But like, I and this is for anybody that is still listening. If the five other callers haven't told you this already, but this isn't even being grandiose, you know, or anything like that. It's just the truth that we're telling here. And also, let's acknowledge, by the way, that to a lot of people that are checked out of politics as well, the left and, you know, and liberals by extension have had a bit of an image problem of, you know, trying to seem holier than thou.
Right.
And, you know, and always coming up, you know, wanting to be the bigger man in this type of situation. I went from, you know, like I used to be like a big alt-right type of dude, you know, and then once I checked out, got myself educated, now was the question of, okay, how do I go about, like, you know, handling these views? Because everything else used to be all about being edgy and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And once I found podcasts, you know, like Chapo Trap House and shows like this, I kind of began to realize that, like, no, we can be we can have that type of rhetoric just as much as, you know, as it was used against us.
Right.
So, like, this, you know, we're like, I feel like it's a great thing that the left is entering sort of its attitude era, so to speak. And if anybody is concerned about rubbing people the wrong way, or, you know, or chasing out young impressionable voters, look at what these kids are posting on TikTok and how like extreme they get with, you know, with their politics and how brazenly they're expressing themselves. This is the new wave. It's really simple. You have to get with it or get lost now.
Right. Well, thanks for calling, Phil. We really appreciate it. And we will talk to you again one day soon, I'm sure.
All right. Yeah. You guys have a great time. Love the show, man.
Thank you,
Thank
Phil.
You. Bye-bye.
All right.
All right. So let's talk to David in Clearwater. Hi, David.
Hi. How are you?
Sorry it's taken this long for us to get to you. We had a lot of callers
and
stuff.
I've been listening to the show. It's been most interesting.
Oh, good.
I had a comment concerning the lady who was offended, and the email, who was the person that was offended, is, I have a suggestion first for them, and that is, instead of lingering on a thinking person's radio channel, turn over to any one of the AM channels in Tampa Bay. I doubt if there's a liberal one there. And listen to those shock jocks. What they say, it makes you guys sound like you're you're making pedophores for the tea.
Miss Porter School graduates.
What you're saying is so reserved.
Yeah, it's Mrs.
Right.
Beaton's. Mrs.
Yeah.
Beaton's homemakers.
Intelligent, of course, that the intelligence she recognizes, but it's the offensive language that she doesn't like.
And gosh, David, if you could hear me not on air, I could really offend people with language.
No,
I have a child who's in law school, who's going to graduate. And I don't think he's going to practice because he's in business, but he was driving back from something up in Atlanta, and someone passed him and slowed down twice.
Oh.
And I was talking to him, because it was 11 o'clock at night, and I didn't want him to go to sleep before he got home. And the language was outstanding, but I don't think he'd put it in a blue book at his law school. or on a pleading. But, you know, listening to the representatives of the president in this totally orderly and innocuous and ignorant attempt to set aside my vote and a lot of other people's, their language is not, it doesn't sound like a lawyer. It sounds like a PR man. And I heard one single fact, and that was somebody that was testifying before one of the state houses about the voting. And this gentleman was talking about the fact that he didn't see this, he didn't see that, he didn't see this. Well, that's why he brings it before their electoral board in the state where it happened. And then when they get through listening to him, they said, okay, we don't find that credible. Okay, so they go to the next one. That's what democracy is all about.
Yeah.
It's due process. Everybody gets a shot. You go through. You can follow the procedures. But when you take a procedure and then you mutilate it.
Right, and contort it, and, yeah.
Things that, I mean, like when you were talking to the professor, you know, he said, I don't really know how to say this. I read this, and I read the complaint, and I just don't know how to respond to it because lawyers don't put that kind of language into complaints and try to get a relief without alleging some facts.
Right.
Their conclusions, but everything was conclusion. And we are in a world of hurt in Florida because we laid back and let the Republican Party take over and run the state.
Yep.
And as far as a number of things are good, but a number of things aren't good.
Yeah.
I grew up in a small town during the Pork Chop Gang. And so we took more advantage than we should have in DeSoto County of having the votes that we had under the pork chop rule.
Well, we're hoping, thank you, David, for calling in today. We're hoping for some changes in the way the party does business. We're going to have a whole show on that before. We talked about the reorgs the last time we were on. I'm going to make a little bit of commentary today once we get all our callers in about the state of the race and who's entered. A little bit of commentary on that, not too much. But we'll move on to our callers and hit that at the end.
All right. You're listening to WMNF Tampa, 88.5, Surly Voices by Surly Feminists for the Revolution. You can give us a call at 813-239-9663. And let's talk to Greg in Clearwater.
Hey, guys. Another great show. I want to thank you for being there.
Oh, thank you, Greg.
Thanks, Greg.
And I don't want to be another pile of honor, but I did catch that reference because my sister graduated from Miss Porter's School. A lot of people know that reference.
Miss Porter's.
I'm one of those progressives that's extremely tired of the Democrats showing up to a gunfight with a plastic fork.
Yeah.
And it's time, you know, to start really throwing our weight around. People got to realize Mitch McConnell has been an obstructionist for 12 years. And right now, he's got 500 or more bills sitting on his desk given to him by a bipartisan House that he's done absolutely nothing about. And now they're fighting over $600 or $1,200 for people who are going on 7 months without any relief.
Right. Yeah.
What is that going to do for somebody, $600? You know, that's $4,000 behind on a rent or a mortgage. And these guys are millionaires sitting up there in their gilded lilies making decisions about people who are barely surviving, and in some cases not surviving. It's just beyond the pale.
Right.
And it is time to... The other thing, not to pick on that poor woman who called, but she needs to go listen to what's being spoon-fed to these right-wingers on television, on radio, on Clear Channel. You guys are such a nugget in the world of right-wing propaganda. And they're not holding back any punches. And, moving from the north down here to Florida, it was really alarming and eye-opening for me to understand what these people have been spoon-fed for the last 30 years and, how incredibly different their life and reality is from what I appear to always believe was truth. And it's just shocking.
Everything is it's all about etiquette and civility and niceness, and that's not going to get us anywhere. We are in crisis times, and
we have been for more than half a year.
Yeah,
and it's just, like I said, it's just incredible to me that people still want us to, go to a gunfight with a plastic fork and plead for civility. The time has passed, and we need to do everything we can to win Georgia. And when we win Georgia, we need to take bold and decisive action to steer this country. Forget about the 70 million other people who voted for Trump, which, frankly, I don't understand or can't believe, but...
Right. And Florida was ground zero for some of those shenanigans. But what we're hopeful for, and I thank you for calling today, Greg, what we're hopeful for is that the new party leadership that will emerge will be able to have the capacity and the understanding and the clarity and the ethic to take on, the things that have gone wrong and to craft a new path for us.
Right.
Who else do we have, Liz?
We have Paul in St. Pete. Hi, Paul.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm all right, and I'm listening to your program for the first time in a long time.
Oh.
The concept of majority leader, what the heck is it about the Senate that the rules say that one man who's only elected from one state, he just, by chance, his party is in numerically in control.
Mm-hmm.
Has the power to just stop everything. This man is more powerful than the President of the United States. I think when it comes to bills that, have to do with and stuff of that nature, but I know that they come from the House, the money appropriations, but if he doesn't like it, he doesn't have to bring it up with his control, his party. He just lets them lay.
Right.
I'm going to just ask you this. Have a show or help inform people like myself. Is it just a simple rule that the Senate got together some time ago and said, well, you got the majority, you have total control of the country?
That's a good point. That's a good point, Paul. And I think that does deserve to have a whole show devoted to it. And let us get to work on that and get some folks up here who can talk to us about it.
Yeah, just like you had the attorney on, or the professor from the law school.
Yeah.
Some straightforward information for people who vote, and we think we have some, I believe in the vote, that we have some... say-so. If we get together, we vote for a person in or out.
Right. Yeah, we're definitely going to get to work on that, Paul. Look for it sometime in January.
So, yeah.
I'll be listening. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
And I'd like to add this to Paul's statement. Our request is that we can talk to some people over at the university.
Yeah.
And see if they can come in and explain. But I can do a 30-second rundown on that.
Okay.
Got three branches of government.
Yeah, wait. Right. Let's talk to Kurt in Lakeland first. And really quickly, Kurt, how are you?
I'm doing well. I hope you're doing well as well.
Yes, sir.
I just had a couple things. I live in Polk County, and so as I was leaving the other day, I was heading into Pasco, I saw this flag, and it says, I can't say it on the air, F, Biden. And so, again, the point of this is this flag, is it going to fly for the next 4 years? And if so, again, to the other caller's point, that is the kind of language that they're using. It may be the only kind of language people understand. Mm-hmm. And I hate to be like that. But it seems to me that, like, I get angry at myself for taking this passive position of being like, you know, I hope I don't hurt anyone's feelings today when people are walking around without a mask on. And, you know, and that endangers other folks. I get fed up, and it's a emotional topic. And I'm going to end on this, and that is that Stephen Colbert makes a show on Netflix, and it has a really interesting perspective on Mitch McConnell. It is an animated series called Our American.
That sounds hilarious.
take a moment to laugh because it has that truth behind the underworkings with Mitch McConnell and Nancy Pelosi and you know, Chuck Schumer. So it makes some jokes, but I think there's some truth to those jokes. So anyway, thank you, ladies. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. All right, so now, Donna, tell us, give us your 2 second civics lesson.
Okay, so I need like 30. So we got three branches: executive, judicial, legislative, and they're supposed to check each other along in conjunction with the fourth state, known as PREST, where our free speech, you know, First Amendment rights rest. Let's examine for a moment in reality and in our imaginations, right? The weight of corporate interest,
mm-hmm.
right? This is. I don't know if we need a show, but I'm going to tell you that the weight of corporate interest is being served in our legislative branch. And when they have decided, they pour all this money into these people's races and then elect them, it's being orchestrated, right? It's not, yep. Doesn't reach the level of conspiracy, but you choose your leader. I believe they've chosen their leader. The weight of corporate interests are served at our legislative branch. This is not a secret. These were things that were talked about with people like Thomas Jefferson when they were forming the country. And so he talked about giving up. Right? Giving up our country and our lands to corporations. And I think that we're there. And I don't want to go full right-wing conspiracy theorist, but I would suggest that we consider the weight of corporate interest and where and how they are being served. And I think that's happening. It's creeping into the judicial branch. But it's definitely the shop from which that a lot of that is coming from.
Well, for example, this is why we can't have universal health care,
yes.
in America,
yes.
is because of corporate interests.
Right.
All right.
That's all I got.
That's all you got?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's talk to Norman in Zephyr Hills and see if he agrees. Hi, Norman.
Hey, ladies. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hey, great day. That gentleman that was curious about the rules of Senate, the way I understand it, they may swear in and seat new members first, but then the first vote they take is going to be on the Senate rules. So every time they sit down on the new incoming member session, they will vote on their own rules. They have a chance to make up their own rules, and then they vote on it. And when, you know, one party controls the chaos like mm-hmm. they've been doing, we can figure what the new rules are going to be. I would like to make a comment about that lady that called earlier, was upset at your tone. I wonder if folks like that in the past 4 years have called any of the Republican
people. Brilliant, Norman, brilliant.
And commented to them about the nastiness that we've been putting up with for the last 12 years. They fought Obama. First thing is, we're going to make sure he does not get reelected. And the you know, you watch the press for years, ask them a question. They're the masters of distraction. They won't answer a question. It's always distractions that lead to hate. The hate and fear that they put into the residents of South Florida this past campaign is criminal. They swayed so many opinions with nothing but lies, and people fell for it. And then they get upset because you get a little tone.
right.
your voice. where is logic and tolerance? Yes, we have to exhibit tolerance too, but our toes have been stepped on for so long. Please accept the fact that we're a little upset too.
Yeah, thank absolutely.
You. Thank you, ladies.
Fair thank enough. You thank you Norman. So much, Norman.
I have an email from Marita, our lady who called earlier.
Okay.
She's continued to listen, and she says, okay, so you want to be the liberal shock radio. That's your prerogative. We are far from liberal shock radio.
Oh, yeah, no.
My point is, you're only going to reach an audience that you already agree with if you make the type of personal attack on an elected, I think is what we mean, official. You don't need to convince me that Mitch McConnell is an awful person and has committed horrific acts against the American people. My focus is working on these ignorant people that will not hear anything you say when you open with the comments I heard today. Sincerely, a former Republican, Marita Spack.
And right. And Marita, this is how I respond to that. Now, I'm not trying to be the liberal shock. I mean, what you see is what you get with me. There's no veneer, there's no guile, there's no anything. And unfortunately, I have been this way my entire life, despite my grandmother's trying to instill civility and etiquette in me. And so, I have suffered for it along the way, and I have benefited for it along the way. But I have a number of family members who voted for Trump. And it doesn't matter how you talk to these people. I could be as nice as I possibly can. I have a cousin who was like a sister who no longer speaks to me simply because I was not tolerating the Trump line of thought. If this woman can cut me out of her life because of her belief in Trump, there is absolutely nothing I can say or any way I can say it that's going to make her listen. There is a core of people who voted for Trump that are beyond any kind of reason or reasoning or etiquette or anything like that.
So I'm going to jump in here. Kate X in Bradenton says, the fact that someone could be so upset to hear choice words against Mitch McConnell is crazy. I'm looking for the choice words. I don't know where they were.
I'm going to have to listen to the show later.
When you look at all right media hosts like Alex Jones talking about beheading Dr. Fauci and putting his head on a pike and removing Joe Biden one way or another, there's not even an argument here. Mitch McConnell sucks. Just discovered your show. I'm in Portland, Oregon. Rob had a guest last week who reminded us that the vice president is the president of the Senate and can run the show. Some have and some haven't. Keep on keeping on. Ross. Hello. I agree with the caller who objected to the offensive remarks about Senator McConnell. I agree that Senator McConnell has done our nation a great disservice. I am a Democrat who voted for Biden. Using the most extreme comments as justification for copying that kind of talk is nothing more than saying two wrongs make a right. The Michelle rule applies. Regards, Steve in St. Pete. I think we made it through everything.
Again, we are the surly feminists. The polite feminists are on next week. But I still I did not say anything. And I will go back and listen to the show later and try to figure out what word it was that triggered everybody so badly. But I do apologize that my language offended anybody. We are in desperate times right now, though, and I think it absolutely calls for a new approach. Last words, Donna.
Let's see here. I have one more email. I can't go by it.
Quick.
Fact, McConnell acts as a sociopath, as do DeSantos and 45. Luckily, Gus Bilirakis was among the Republicans that signed the letter to support the Texas brief. Call them all out. If people don't like it, hundreds of right-wing stations are available. Sadly, thank you for being bold and telling the truth, Elisa in Gulfport.
Thank you, Elisa. And with that, we will leave you guys. And thank you for listening to Surly Voices by Surly Feminists for the Revolution on WMNF Tampa 88.5. Yeah, baby.
shining. I like $1 million deals. Where's my pen? Bitch, I'm signing. I like those Balenciagas, the ones that look like socks. I like going to the Tula. I put rocks all in my watch. I like sexes from my exes when they want a second chance. I like